Good day to you here on the Bama Hammer Tailgate Show, the first episode of the season. I'm Chris Dodson, and this is Brett Hudson right next to me. How you doing, Brett, today?
Doing good. I'm glad to start this show off. It's going to be a long season.
Definitely. Well, welcome to the Bama Hammer Tailgate Show. It's a podcast that we'll be doing every week here, previewing the Alabama game the next coming weekend. Once we get past this week, we'll talk about the previous game, of course. We're hitting it up week one this week of college football season. Alabama has a huge game against Michigan in the Cowboys Classic, a game that's been, you know, circled around, you know, most national news media, talking about, you know, Alabama and Michigan, two big powerhouse teams, facing off in probably one of the biggest stadiums in America, at Cowboys Stadium. So let's just start with that game. You know, a lot of people are talking about this game, and they're thinking this is a huge game for both the team seasons. You know, it could impact their track to the national championship, their conference championship hopes. So what's at stake for? Let's start with Alabama. What's at stake for Alabama in this game?
Well, realistically, a national championship, Chris. That's almost the expectation at Alabama every year now that Nick Saban's been able to win two in the last 3 years in his, 5 years with the Crimson Tide. So I think for Alabama, either a season-opening win or you're almost out of the national title race there, because Michigan and the Big Ten, if you have a loss to a team that doesn't win its own conference, most of the time you're probably not going to get in the national championship game. And Michigan is not the favorite to win the Big Ten. They're one of the favorites, but Wisconsin, you can make a great case for Wisconsin in the Big Ten. You could also make the case for Ohio State in Urban Meyer's first year. That's a little more of a reach than Wisconsin, but it's still there. So I think that if Alabama does lose to Michigan, that the national championship is almost completely out of it. But for Michigan, I think the future of the program really rides on how well Michigan plays in this game. You look at what Virginia Tech did versus Alabama in 2009. They didn't really do anything against Alabama in the Georgia Dome in the season opener of that game. Look where Virginia Tech's been since. They haven't really been as great as they were in the mid-2000s or so when Frank Beamer was in his prime with the Hokies. So I think that this game really means a lot to the future of Michigan's program, because they can recruit off of a game like this if they play the defending national champions well or even find a way to beat them. That really means a lot for the future of Brady Hoke's program going forward.
And I have to agree with you, because I think Alabama, in their sense, again, the national championship is expected every year, but, you know, everybody's going back, you know, 2009, you win a national championship. 2010, you don't even get close to the national championship.
No, and a lot
of people regard that season as a disappointment, even though it was a 10-win season. And a lot of people feel like that was a disappointing season. But you're right. I mean, for Michigan, it means a lot more to them, because Brady Hoke, you know, this is his second year at Michigan, and he's trying to build a program which was completely undone by Rich Rodriguez, the coach before him. And, you know, let's just face it, the Rodriguez era was a complete failure.
A massive failure.
So for Michigan. So this is a huge game to get them back on the national scale. But let's talk about it. If you want to compare this game, would you compare this game to, say, you know, the game of the century part one last year against LSU? I mean, there was so much hype around that game. There was all kinds of news outlets there, including international news outlets in town in Tuscaloosa for this game. So, does this have as much hype for this game, or is it, you know, kind of a step down?
The hype is huge for this game, but before I kind of strike it down a little bit, but I don't think it quite matches up to the game of the century part one. I think the title for that game speaks for itself. But I do think the hype for this game is big, because, like you said earlier, there's two traditional national powerhouses, Alabama and Michigan. These two met several times dating back to Bear Bryant's time at the university. And Michigan is just one of those teams where no matter, even if they're in a down year like they were pretty much the entirety of Rich Rodriguez's tenure in Ann Arbor, they're still a team you have to respect and play hard, because even if they are down, they're still going to come to your place and beat you sometimes. But when you, whenever you have two traditional powers like that meeting up, it's still going to be something great. Even, and to use another rivalry as an example, USC Notre Dame. Both of those teams have been down recently, but a lot of attention goes to that game when it happens. And I think it's the same situation here for Alabama and Michigan, especially that Michigan is now on their way back to national prominence and Alabama's defending a national championship.
And you mentioned Notre Dame. They're facing off with the Navy and the over in Ireland.
In Ireland,
That's 8 a.m. in the morning.
No.
I might get up for that game. I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to decide whether I watch that or College Game Day. But, you know, we'll be on top of that for sure. But going back to this game, you know, we're going to talk a little bit in just a minute about, you know, the preseason preps and getting this getting things kicked off here. So what is more key to Alabama's success in this game? Is it going to be Greg McElroy in that offense, or is it going to be, you know, the Saban known defense that's coming into this game? Who's going to be more key to that?
Well, I think it has to be the defense. I mean, sure, you look at the offense right now, and there's a lot of underrated talent at the wide receiver position. Kevin Norwood torched Tyrann Mathieu in the national championship game last year, and it has a great camp coming off of it. Actually beat out Kenny Bell on the depth chart that was released yesterday, and we'll talk about that later on in the show. But you look at Alabama, the defense is always going to be good. And that's what's going to win Alabama games. You look at this linebacking core with Trey DePriest and C.J. Mosley and Xavier Dixon, and it's all led by one of the smartest linebackers in college football right now, Nico Johnson. You've got Robert Lester in the defensive secondary. He's a five-year player here for Alabama, and he's been making plays since he was a redshirt sophomore. I remember he sealed the game in 2010 at Arkansas as a redshirt sophomore. And he's got talent around him, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Vinny Sonseri, D. Milliner. The defense is always going to be talented, and as complex as this scheme is that Coach Saban runs, it's able to match up to anything the offense may bring, whether it be a typical SEC downhill running attack or what Alabama's going to face on Saturday with Denard Robinson. I think that scheme is very adaptable. It flows very well to different offensive mindsets. So I think that it's got to be Alabama's defense is the unit that will win this game for Alabama.
I have to only partially agree with you because I think yes, the defense is very key to this game in the fact that, you know, Michigan and Big Ten offenses are typically very overpowered. You know, you don't see much. You do see a defense in Big Ten, but it's not as bad as the Big 12, of course.
No,
Big 12 has no defense virtually.
I thought they played,
but their
flag
offense,
football.
Yeah, exactly. But the offense is definitely bigger than the defense in the Big Ten. So I'd have to partially agree with you. But on the same side, I think it's more important that Alabama scores points in this game. You know, that wide receiver core, and especially in running back, I think, you know, of course, it's been key to Alabama's success over these past 3 or 4 years, you know, with you know, Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson, and now Eddie Lacy coming into this game. I think it's more key for that offense to score points. And you know, they always say defense wins championships. But, you know, offense scores points. You have to score points if you're going to win a game.
That's true, and I agree with you there. I think one of Brady Hoke's goals when he came to Michigan was to bring back the defense, because in the Rich Rodriguez era, wherever he goes, the defense is terrible. You look at West Virginia, they would give up...
Fit right into the Big Ten, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They would give up 45 points in a game and still win by double digits. Mm-hmm. Did that at West Virginia, and then the Michigan defense when Rich Rodriguez was there was absolutely terrible. So when Brady Hoke got to Michigan, he really wanted to bring the defense back to a national prominence level, and he's done that, and I think that's going to be very challenging for the offense led by quarterback A.J. McCarron. He's mentioned before where the Michigan defense does something very pro-style on third down. They're very good at confusing you with what they do on third down. They'll disguise their coverages well. They'll disguise their pass rush well. And they've even got the defensive coordinator who was previously with the Ravens, one of the best defenses in the NFL, has been for the last decade, really, since they went to the Super Bowl about a decade ago, actually. That was a long time ago.
Oh, man, yeah.
Ugh, don't remind me.
I'm a big
fan
of the Ravens, too.
Yeah, yeah. A great football team. But And to have that kind of coaching pedigree leading your defense now in a big time game like this, I agree with you there. You've got to score. You've got to score points to win. It's just that simple.
And you know, you talk about Brady Hoke. He called last season a disappointment. This offseason, he called it a disappointment, which a lot of people thought it was pretty successful.
The Maids and Blue faithful were unbelievably happy with what happened last year.
Especially with a coach that came from San Diego State. You know, he has had a lot of success there, but people were still having question marks around him. Right. He's definitely proved himself. Let's get into the preseason here, and we talked about just a minute ago about Eddie Lacy. You know, he's going to be basically the top running back coming into this season, but there's a lot of concern about him in terms of his ability to stay healthy. He got turf toe last year, and that definitely hindered his number of snaps he took in that game. So, is there concern? And you know, this preseason he got injured also and had to sit out for I think roughly a week, and I think he's back in action now.
Yes.
But you know, is there concern for Eddie Lacy, and is there somebody back? Is you know the backups, and let's get into the depth chart just a little bit. You know, you've got a if y'all remind me real quick, I lost the.
The running back depth chart. Well, you've got Eddie Lacy at number one with Jawson Fowler and TJ Yeldon tied at the number two spot.
Which is actually quite interesting.
Which is interesting in and of itself because TJ Yeldon got to campus in early January, and now here he is just 6 months later tied with Jawson Fowler for the number two spot at running back. But to go back to Eddie Lacy, I don't think there's any concern around him at all. I think I get more followers tweeting at me on Twitter about Eddie Lacy and his health than any other subject, and reasonably so. He was listed as the number one running back for a traditionally running program like Alabama just yesterday. I don't see any reason for concern around Eddie Lacy. The turf toe thing, which plagued him really all of last year, I think that's completely resolved. He said he doesn't hurt his toe anymore. The knee and ankle have been nagging him throughout the preseason, but I think he's at least 90% right now heading into Michigan, and especially as Thursday and Friday's practice are going to be a little bit lighter, especially since they have to travel all the way to Dallas. I think that's really going to help Eddie Lacy, the extra rest that he'll get there. I think Eddie Lacy's fine, but looking more at the depth chart, what may be more interesting than Eddie Lacy's health is how Jawson Fowler and TJ Yeldon's rotation goes. If I was in charge, and let's be honest, I'm not. If I was in charge, you would look at Jawson Fowler, who's built like a wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have the dimensions
he's
on him.
Like, he's kind of like a slightly bigger Trent Richardson.
He's like Jerome Bettis. He reminds me a lot of Jerome Bettis.
Point, yeah.
He's not going to beat you with speed, but he will run you over, and he'll smile while he does it. So I think that type of attitude about him makes him a very good third and short, fourth down kind of back. But you look at TJ Yeldon, and he's very underrated coming out of the backfield, catching passes. I believe he had a receiving touchdown in either a preseason scrimmage or the A-Day game, maybe both. So that kind of talent coming out of the backfield makes TJ a very, very potent running back to have in for a third and long situation where you could use a running back to beat a linebacker on the edge and find him deep wide open for a first down. So I think that rotation is going to be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Oh, well, let's say Eddie Lacy gets hurt. I think you put in TJ Yeldon in first because, first of all, Jawson Fowler, he's playing dual roles. Essentially, he's gonna be playing out in another role at some point. So you probably want to play the player that doesn't get that you know is primarily made for running back. And I think TJ Yeldon is that running back. I do agree though that I think there might if Eddie Lacy does get injured, there might be that kind of rotation between like a Mark Ingram Trent Richardson thing where it just depends on the situation that they're in. But let's kind of move on here a little bit more and talk about the practices themselves. You know, you got to be a part of that. You got to watch the practice, at least the part of the practice that the media is allowed to watch. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Nick Saban was when he mentioned that press conference earlier, by the way, about sending the media watching a full practice on the hottest day of the year.
Yeah.
He got that smile about him that it was like, hey, actually, this may sound like a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
But getting back to the practices, you know, you talk about the body of work in this team. you know, last year, remember 2009 championship, there was like all kinds of media practices. You know, they had the Nick Saban Game Changer movie filming during that game, and there was a lot of distractions going about this. So just looking at the players themselves and what you've been able to see, how do you think their body of work is compared to, say, 2010?
I'd say the body of work looks really good. I think this year they did a lot less of a focus on fundamentals throughout the preseason, to where they were actually more advanced in their schemes in preseason camp in 2012 than they were in 2010. It seems like in 2010 they kind of struggled getting the base, the foundation of playing Alabama football down with the young guys on that team, especially in the defense. They had trouble establishing how to play Alabama football with that 2010 defense early, but I don't think that's the case for the 2012, isolating the defense. I think they're more than ready to get going, as they've already – they started establishing game plan things for Michigan before Monday, before the first week of actual practice. You noticed they were doing things that were very specific to what Michigan does on offense, and I think that's a great sign for Alabama that the coaching staff is comfortable enough to move forward with the game plan before the Monday before the game.
I agree. And, you know, from what I've been able to see in some of the video coming out from practice, you know, a lot of people they seem a lot more focused and a lot more less distracted than they were back in 2010.
Absolutely.
And who could blame them in 2010? There were cameras everywhere, and you know, it was almost an impossible situation. But you know, how much, you know, let's talk about the new recruits coming in. There's a lot of, you know, new, of course, Saban pulls in another top class coming into this season, and you know, he's bound for another one. Keeps going. He's recruiting. Yeah. His forte. But what kind of impact do those new recruits have? You know, if any.
Well, I mean, we've already talked about T.J. Yeldon, who will, in all likelihood, see some sort of playing time against Michigan.
Yeah.
So a true freshman being on the field for the biggest non-conference game of the year in week one says a lot. I think another guy that's been getting a lot of publicity recently for an injury, but now that he's back for his overall play, that's Amari Cooper.
Mm.
He was listed number two on the depth on for his position of wide receiver on the depth chart released yesterday. I believe he was behind Christian Jones. No, he was behind DeAndre White.
Mm-hmm.
He was behind DeAndre White on the depth chart at the wide receiver X position. And I feel like if Alabama ever goes five wide against Michigan, he would be the fifth wide receiver. Those rotation things like that are still hard to tell in the current stage in the season. But I think he's going to have a big impact on this team as it moves forward. But other true freshmen, I don't think that there's a lot of room for playing time for
right.
True freshmen on this team. I mean, you look at the defense. This is one of the more experienced defensive lines Alabama's had in Coach Saban's tenure here, for guys that have been with the system for longer than a year or two outside of Jesse Williams, who was a JUCO transfer. Yeah. And you look at the linebacking core, all of those guys have been with Alabama at least 2 years. And the same goes for the secondary, except for JUCO transfer Dion Ballou, but he doesn't really factor in as a freshman. But I think when you're looking at where new recruits will have to have an impact, it's got to be on the offensive side of the ball.
All right. Well, I think that's a very interesting point, and the new recruits are gonna definitely have you know, some say. But again, you know, you've got too much experience on the Alabama team right now to really get any playing time for those freshmen. But you know, with red shirts and all that, they'll probably some of them will emerge as leaders in years to come. You know. And, you know, talk about Saban, you know, how long is he going to be here? But, you know, just according to his contract, he'll still be around
For quite a while.
So yeah. Just looking around that. All right, we're going to move on to to our interview today. We're interviewing the writer of GoBigMWolverines.com. He is one of the staff writers over there for that site, and his name is Eric, and he joins us on our Bama Hammer tailgate show. Eric, thanks for joining us. And we're going to go ahead and get into this real quick and just jump into the first question. How much hype is there from the Michigan fan base with this game in Alabama?
Well, this is a huge game. I mean, this is the first game that Michigan's played in quite a long time that has been against, you know, a top 10 team. I mean, we've had games before where it's been a long time where Michigan played Notre Dame. They've both been 1-2. I believe a long time ago we played Miami, and we were both top 10 teams. But, I mean, when you're playing the reigning national champs, it's always a huge game going into it. And, you know, the fans are definitely excited. I think a lot of them are happy they're playing a team like Alabama, but I think most of the fans wish it was like a year or two down the road when Michigan has the depth and talent that Alabama has right now.
What kind of attitude do Brady Hoke and the Wolverines have when they're coming into this game playing the defending national champions?
Well, I believe how Coach Hoke has always done it. It's always, they go into it at like a business. Yeah, they want to have fun as well, but it's business. There's only, as Coach Hoke always said, there's only 12 games you're guaranteed to play. And you got to put your best effort every game to try and make it to that 13th game or beyond. If the championship games, now you got more games and all that. But, as of right now, it's business as usual, and Coach Hoke really stresses for a game like this, go into it, you want to have fun, but they're there to do a job.
All right, so Alabama, they got their key players also, but a lot of people know about Denard Robinson and players like that. Who else will be key players for Michigan? And give us just a couple and just let us know a little bit about them.
Well, we'll start right up front with the offensive line. They're probably the best group to start with. The key one's going to be center Ricky Barnum. He's a fifth-year senior. He started last year as a guard. Well, this year he's taken over for a four-year starter, David Mulk, who by most analysts last year was the best center in college football. So he's got some big shoes to fill. And Taylor Lewan right now, who's the left tackle, he's a 6'8", 310-pound left tackle. He is, probably our best offensive lineman. Michael Schofield, who anchors the right side tackle, he's another 6'7", 300-pound guy who last year played left guard, and now he moved out to right tackle. He's another key guy. But right now, Ricky Barnum is the main guy because he's got to handle, Williams, and that's going to be a job for anybody right now. But the wide receivers, you got to look at Roy Roundtree, who is a guy that 2 years ago had incredible stats. Last year, his pass catching wasn't as much, but, wasn't too bad. And you have a surprise. A little bit of a surprise probably for Alabama is our backup quarterback is getting a lot of reps as wide receiver, Devin Gardner. He's a 6'4", 200-pound kid from Detroit, and he's a great athlete. They're just trying to get him on the field and expect to see him at wide receiver quite a bit in this game.
All right.
Those are the key guys probably on the offense right now. We don't really know about our running back because I'm not sure if you guys know, Fitzgerald Toussaint got in a little bit of trouble in the offseason, and it's still up in the air right at this point whether or not he's going to play Saturday.
We've heard a lot about players like Denard Robinson on the Michigan offense versus Alabama's defense, but Michigan's got a pretty good defense of their own. Which unit has more impact on this game for Michigan, the offense or the defense?
For me, it's always defense. I'm a defensive guy, but I think Michigan, to be in this game, the defense has to help keep them into the game. Michigan cannot play from behind in this game at all, especially with Michigan struggled last year in the passing game quite a bit, as probably most people know, and they can't really play from behind that well. I mean, they did against Notre Dame, but again, they're not the national champions either, so that's the biggest thing right now is Michigan has to either stay ahead in this game or right there. They can't be 7, 14 points down and try and fight back because they're not a team that can just go all passing all the time, because they key on just like Alabama does. You know, they want to set the run up, get the run going. That's part of their whole plan. Then throw the pass in there once in a while. But, you know, they're a team that wants to control the clock, kind of control the game, which that's going to be the huge battle, I think, right now for that game, is who can control the clock.
You talk about Brady Hoke and there and his success in the first year, although he called last year sort of a disappointment. You know, how do the fans feel about Brady Hoke after the Rich Rodriguez era, and do the Mesa Blue faithful think he will be successful in Michigan?
Well, when he first came in, there's a lot of questions about him because of his record at Ball State and San Diego State. Wasn't that impressive, but he was a guy that, you know, he took over struggling programs and brought them to respectability. Half the fan base, you know, wasn't really sure about him. But after the Notre Dame game, I think more fans started to get on him, you know, started supporting him a lot more. And by the end of the season, you know, you hardly hear any complaints about anything that he's done at all this year. And most fans believe he's got the team and the program headed in the right direction, not only just by how the team's doing, but how he's taken on the Michigan tradition and playing off of that. Rich Rodriguez really didn't do that. He didn't know what Michigan meant. Brady Hoke does. He gets it. And for some people, it's a little bit different. You know, most Alabama fans probably have the same thing with their traditions, with Bear Bryant, and some of that stuff that goes years on by. But Brady Hoke, I believe, he really has what Michigan's needed for quite a long time. And I really think most fans have really supported him 100% from here on out, and really believe he's got the program headed in the right direction.
Let's go under a hypothetical that the Alabama fans listening probably won't enjoy too much, but let's say that Michigan is able to win this game in Dallas. What kind of impact will that have on the rest of Michigan's season, and what happens if Michigan loses this game?
Well, hopefully they don't get too high or too low, no matter if they win or if they do lose. You know, that's the big thing with college kids and even, you know, high school kids. If they win a big game, they almost let down for the next week, and that they can't really do that because they play Air Force, which, granted, they're not an SEC or Big Ten team, but they're a really tough team with their run scheme to match up in. And if Michigan would happen to beat Alabama, they come out flat against Air Force, they could actually lose that game just by the type of team Air Force is and how you got to prepare to play them. If they lose, I think it depends on how they lose. If it's a close loss, yeah, they're going to take it tough. But I think the team and the fans will look at it as a positive step, and the program's headed in the right direction. Now, if they get blown out, you know, that's another case. You know, that's a different story. You know, Michigan's got several players that are out right now. You'll probably hear some fans using that as an excuse. But really, as Coach Hoke, since he came into Michigan, his biggest, number one goal has always been win the Big Ten. Win the Big Ten. Even last year, they won the Sugar Bowl, BCS game, and he said, you know, it wasn't a great year because we didn't win the Big Ten. It was a good year. It wasn't a great year. So I think a lot of it depends on how they play. Hopefully, if they win, you know, it'd be a great deal, because we're going to be looking at the bull. You know, the bullseye will be back on our back and our chest right now. You know, right now it's on Alabama's. You know, Alabama is one of the elite programs right now, and that's the thing Michigan wants to get back to being. I believe in a couple years they will be that program again. You know, that Michigan used to be.
He is the editor for GoBigMWolverine.com. Eric, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me on, and hopefully it's a great game this weekend.
All right. Well, we appreciate him coming on. And once again, we want to tease real quick, you know, we got our bunch of things posted on BamaHammer.com. You know, you can see there and check all the previews for week one, including this game against Michigan. But, you know, we want to plug real quick the Saturday live chat that will be happening on the site. You know, it's going to be you know, you get all these message boards and these open comment threads. You know, those are good, but our live chat will be a real-time chat with, you know, other Alabama fans. It'll be hosted by our good editor at Bama Hammer, Tony Orlando, and will be sponsored by BamaCups.com. Once again, that's our Saturday chat on the site at BamaHammer.com. Be sure to join us for that. Now, moving on and kind of transitioning from what Eric had said in this, talking about Michigan. You know, we asked him about the key players on there. Like, you know, who out of this team do you think will be the key positions? You know, and you can talk about Denard Robinson, of course. He's the bigger player, but you know, who do you think?
Well, I think it has to be Denard Robinson, yeah. Unfortunately, to give the obvious answer. But when you've got a Heisman candidate on a team like Michigan, he's the guy, especially with what they do with Denard Robinson. Coach Saban's talked about it throughout the week, how Michigan really revolves their entire offense around the talents of Denard Robinson. They move the pocket to take advantage of Robinson's unbelievable ability to throw on the run. He's got a great motion when he's throwing on the run, and when they move the pocket, it just makes it easier for him to do what he does best and run, be that dual threat quarterback that makes him as effective as he is. So he's the key player. If Alabama's able to contain him and what he does best, I don't think Michigan will be able to score more than 10 points in this game. But if Denard Robinson is successful in what he does, if he's able to find the open man on the run, if he's able to pump fake and get an Alabama defender in the air and run by him and gain the first down that way, I think Michigan could at least put up 21 or more points on this Alabama defense, despite how talented it may be. That's just how good Denard Robinson is.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, what's at stake for each team at the beginning of the show. But talk about Michigan. Let's just hypothetically say that Michigan does lose this game against Alabama. You know, is their season, you know, finished in terms of hopes for a national championship?
In hopes for a national championship, yes, but I don't think the Michigan fan base is going for a national championship quite yet, or they shouldn't be anyway. If Michigan is able to win a national championship this year, then Brady Hoke, kudos to you. You've done way more than I expected you to do in your second year as the head coach. But I don't think that a national championship is quite the expectation as it is here in Alabama. I think that Michigan is more looking to dominate the Big Ten, especially with Urban Meyer coming in at Ohio State. That's some very tough competition in recruiting. There's also Michigan State, who's been better than Michigan for a few years now. So I think Michigan's trying to focus on what they have in the Big Ten. They also have to beat Wisconsin to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think Michigan is more focused on building the program like Coach Saban did here at Alabama. When in Alabama's second year after Coach Saban turned in a 6-6 regular season, the expectation was not to win a national championship. I think the Alabama fan base was incredibly impressed with a 10-2 regular season that year.
And I have to say that it definitely has a major impact on their season.
It definitely
and
will.
I think, though, that if they don't win this game, it could mean, you know, a sign of very tough times ahead. As Eric mentioned in his interview, the game right after their game is Air Force, and that's not an easy game getting to win against Air Force. They tend to do a lot more different things with the ball that could throw them off a little bit. It could be a huge letdown whether they win or lose against Alabama if they lose that game. And I think the schedule and the way they've got it, it's going to be really tough. I think they will come out possibly with a BCS bowl bid, possibly, but I don't think if they don't win this game against Alabama, I don't think even a conference championship's in the cards. And I know how superior, you know, Brady Hoke is as a coach, and he'll look on that and he'll keep going and push on. He'll be disappointed with the season, of course, but I think just with the schedule that they've got, especially against the key game at the end of the season with Ohio State, against Urban Meyer, the first year Urban Meyer against Ohio State, even though Ohio State's not in it for the conference championship because they are obviously on a postseason ban right now. I think that's good. That game is going to tell a lot about Michigan, more so than Alabama.
And I agree with you there. I think this will deal a huge blow to Michigan's success for the rest of the season. You look at what teams have done after Alabama beat them in the season opener. Virginia Tech was very disappointing after 2009. The same can be said for Clemson after Alabama beat them in the season opener. I believe that was 2008.
Yeah,
I think it was. They went 6-6 that year. That was a very talented football team.
That's
They went 6-6 that season. You look at Penn State the last 2 years. Now, before the scandals happened at Penn State, when Penn State came to Tuscaloosa in 2010 and got pretty well dominated in that game, Penn State was not the same football team for the rest of the year. They underachieved to a pretty serious degree. So I think that a loss in this game will affect Michigan's season, but I don't think that it will steer the course of Michigan's program in the wrong way going forward. I may be wrong. We'll have to see how Brady Hoke responds to it. He seems like the kind of coach that would respond to such adversity pretty well.
Looking at some of the schedule this year, of course, they've got Notre Dame week 4.
Huge game.
In Notre Dame Stadium in North Bend. In Indiana. Talking about, and then you, of course, you've got Michigan, who's not going to be they're not a cupcake anymore. They're definitely a team that's definitely to be reckoned with. Nebraska in a Saturday night game, and Iowa, and of course, that Ohio State game. There's many, you know, contenders in the Big Ten this year. I mean, you really can't. I mean, Iowa, they've got a lot of problems to deal with, but they can definitely make a push if they really win a couple of key games in their schedule. So, I mean, Michigan's schedule isn't easy. I mean,
it's not.
I think the key game besides Ohio State is definitely that Nebraska game when they travel to Lincoln.
That Nebraska game will be difficult. Going to Lincoln is not an easy task. I'm also looking at the Notre Dame game. They have Notre Dame, then they have a bye week before they go to Purdue. So if Michigan loses that game and loses to Alabama, all of a sudden Michigan is 2-2 heading into a bye week. And then they go, I believe, on straight Big Ten games from that point out. Yeah. After that bye week, after Notre Dame, they don't play a single non-conference game from that point forward. So if Michigan goes 2-2, gets to hear about it for an extra week, and then goes into the Big Ten, I agree with you. That could spell disaster.
And, you know, you talk about back at Michigan, and you remember Michigan when they were the team out there.
And Lloyd Carr's day.
Yeah, Lloyd Carr, you know, they were rolling over every opponent. They kept playing. And even against Alabama, I counted 9 opponents in Alabama's history that actually has a winning record against them. And of course, Michigan is 2-1 with all three of those games being bowl games, the last game coming in the, I think, 99 Orange Bowl. But talking about Michigan, what are they back to legendary status? Are they back to where they were? Or are they still kind of, we'll wait and see where this is going?
When I see Michigan in the Rose Bowl, I'll believe that they are back to the Michigan that we know. When Michigan wins the Big Ten and makes a trip to Pasadena to match up with the Pac-12's best team they have to offer, that's when I'll believe Michigan is back. But until then, it's hard to really count Michigan back to their quote-unquote glory days when they aren't on the top of the Big Ten, when they aren't beating Ohio State like a drum every chance they get. But I'm not sure that it's going to happen. I have to be honest. You look at what Ohio State did, bringing in Urban Meyer, who is one of the most cutthroat recruiters.
Big hire.
He is, and he's one of the most cutthroat recruiters in college football. That's including Saban. They used to have a gentleman's agreement in the Big Ten where if a recruit is committed to a Big Ten school, no other Big Ten school would talk to that recruit after he's committed. Exactly. Urban Meyer laughs at that, says, please, I'll take that kid.
Yeah.
I'll take that guy. I mean, if you're not going to talk to him, fine. I'll steal him out of your backyard. Exactly. I don't care. You know, I'll visit your campus to talk to this guy. Mm-hmm. That's just how Urban Meyer is. I think his recruiting and his system is going to be very successful in Ohio State, or time will tell on that subject anyway. But also Wisconsin is at possibly a program high when it comes to their success. They've got one of the best running backs in the country in Monte Ball. We've got an underrated quarterback in Danny O'Brien and one of the best offensive lines in the country. Northwestern is better than they've almost ever been in their program's history. Michigan State is solid. They go to a January bowl game every year, it seems like now, even when they get thumped by Alabama when they go. The Big Ten is at a pretty good high right now when it comes to the teams that they're producing year in, year out, even without Penn State at the top of their game. So I think it's going to be difficult for Michigan to get back to those glory days that we're used to seeing Michigan at.
One other question about this before we move on to talking about the SEC in the week one in just a minute. I think the thing about the Big Ten is, and during this time offseason, they were talking about playoffs, you know, a big change coming in 2014 for the playoffs. But a lot of people thought that the masterminds between those playoffs were Mike Slive of the SEC and Jim Delaney of the Big Ten. You know, those are the two probably the most powerful men in college football right now.
Which Mike Slive won, by the way.
Yeah, probably just a little bit, but of course, Jim Delaney. You know, he's just about as he wants best for his conference as much as Mike Slive wants for his SEC.
Absolutely.
And you got to talk about it. I mean, is the Big Ten starting to become back on the rise? And SEC, of course, they've got their national championships lined up in a row. But is the Big Ten looking towards possibly making back into the national championship game, say like Ohio State did twice and failed?
Well, I think the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are kind of competing for that runner-up, that silver medal, when it comes to conferences. 'Cause the Big East and the ACC, please. Let's just set them to the side for now and talk about the real conferences. The Big 12 doesn't play any defense. Oklahoma has been ranked in the top five in the preseason every year for – I'd love to get a number on this. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I would love to find out how many years in a row it's been. And they haven't really been anything since they played USC in the national championship game. That was probably 6 or 7 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, on a national scale, that is. But I think the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are competing for that honor right now. So it's basically Oregon, USC, and Stanford butting heads with Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio State. I think those three teams for each conference will really decide the fate of the conference moving forward if one conference is able to separate itself from the other as the number two conference. And I think the Rose Bowls are going to be very interesting in the next 4 or 5 years because of that storyline going on in college football right now.
Talk about the Rose Bowl. You know, yeah. I mean, its future sort of up in the air with this new playoff system that's coming out. Of course, they haven't exactly given out details as to which bowls are going to get the championship game, which bowls are going to get the semifinals. They haven't explained that yet. I'm sure we'll get that when we get closer to 2013, 2014, when that starts. Okay, so let's get into week one in the SEC. And there, you know, other than Alabama and Michigan, there's a couple of other big games coming in for this game. So you know, let's talk about first some of the, you know, there's other games. We'll go down the list of some of these cupcake games going on. You got Buffalo facing off against the Georgia Bulldogs.
I think that game is more about what Georgia does to replace Isaiah Crowell than anything. The decision of that game was decided when Georgia decided to schedule Buffalo. I think the fans in Athens are more worried about how their running backs play.
And we'll not give any predictions on this. You'll be able to hear our predictions on Friday when we make a post on Bama Hammer. All the Bama Hammer staff will be making their predictions on the SEC games. But other games going on, Bowling Green at Florida, North Texas going on against LSU, not exactly a blockbuster LSU game to start off with the game. Jacksonville State's going to Arkansas, South Louisiana against Missouri. Central Arkansas against Ole Miss and Jackson State versus Miss State. Of course, there was Texas A&M and Louisiana
Tech,
but that got moved to October due to the Isaac ravaging Louisiana right now. Our thoughts and prayers down there to the people over there in Louisiana. But our big some of the bigger matchups coming up in this game, and you start out with Clemson and Auburn, and Auburn, you know, you don't really know. There's a lot of question marks surrounding this team right now. Clemson, you know, they're not going to have a key player in their ranks in this game. This one is kind of a really good toss-up game that could be interesting to watch.
It will be. I agree with you there. I mean, as you mentioned, Clemson's missing Sammy Watkins, one of the more explosive players on their offense, and Auburn's missing their starting center, Reese Dismukes, from last year. Not really sure how long he'll be out, but he definitely won't play against Clemson is the last word that we've heard coming out of Auburn. But I just have this feeling about Auburn. I think they're going to be better than most people think they will be. Despite the fact that Kyle Frazier at quarterback is a little unproven, they're returning so many starters and so many key guys from last year's team that I think Auburn will be better than expected.
I think so too, but I think Clemson on the flip side of that, you know, they've coming off a very high year from last year. They went 9-0, 10-0.
That's right.
To start off the season. But I think Clemson has a very good chance against Auburn to make a win for the ACC in this one.
And one more thing, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the defense reacts for Clemson. Gave up 70 points, I believe, to West Virginia in their bowl game.
Right.
Do they get angry? Do they get mad at hearing about it for the entirety of the offseason and really come out and make a statement? Or do they get kind of down on themselves? Do they think back, the last time we were on a big stage, we got torched? I think it depends on how that Clemson defense reacts to that big stage in that game that really will tell all for Clemson.
I think that's an interesting point to bring up. But, you know, you talk about Clemson and that game. That was a fun game to watch.
That bowl game was
so much fun. Going into a couple of pre-Saturday games here, you had South Carolina and Vanderbilt facing off with each other on Thursday night. And most people have South Carolina in this game, but you can't really count out Vandy, considering also this is a home game for Vandy. You know, you can't really count them out. Should South Carolina be at least on upset alert on this one?
They're definitely on upset alert. Vandy's one of those troublesome teams. They're not your father's Vanderbilt anymore. They're not going to lay down to anybody anymore. But South Carolina's still going to win this game. I think there's too much talent on the defensive line, Jadeveon Clowney, too much talent on defense in general. And now that Steve Spurrier has a quarterback at South Carolina, I think there's some good things going on in Columbia right now.
Part one of the Chick-fil-A kickoff before at Auburn and Clemson. They have two games on the Chick-fil-A kickoff this year label here. They got Tennessee and NC State facing off with each other. And you know, NC State, an ACC, Tennessee, again, they don't have a key wide receiver in Derrick Rogers.
Right.
Facing off, but who do you think is going to win that game? Well, let's just talk about it real quick.
It's really a toss-up right now. I think Tennessee's got to react well to the Derrick Rogers being kicked off the team news, and I don't think that they really have, but I think NC State is one of those programs on the rise in the ACC, and I think they've got a good chance to win this game. I think it's really going to be a toss-up, a game that may be decided by the last possession.
Finally, a quick one on Sunday game, Kentucky and Louisville. Louisville is ranked in the top 25 this year. Kentucky, Joker Phillips. It's not going to be a pretty season. Just looking at the schedule, a couple remarks about this.
Kentucky is just such a bad football team right now. There's just no way around it. How many days till basketball season in Lexington?
I'm sure they'll be counting that down.
That's what's going on in Lexington. They're waiting for Joker Phillips to not win a game in the SEC. And sorry, Joker, you tried, but you're not quite right for the alma mater right now.
Definitely one of the coaches on the hot seat this season. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and close it out here on the Bama Hammer Tailgate Show. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to WVUA-FM for letting letting us use their facilities for this project. You can listen to them on Saturdays, on home game Saturdays right here in Tuscaloosa on 90.7 The Capstone for Tide Tailgate Tunes. For everyone at Bama Hammer, I'm Chris Dodson. He's Brett Hudson, and we're gonna close out. We'll be back next week on Wednesday after the Alabama-Michigan game, previewing Alabama and Western Kentucky. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day, and roll Tide.